From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. During the 1930s, Macon, Georgia was the nation's most redlined city. That term was not used until much later, but the practice, denying mortgage loans or municipal services that effectively drew a line around areas based on race or income, was common. Redlining is now illegal, but as GPB's Grant Blankenship reported in 2016, finding affordable housing in Macon and many Georgia towns is tough.
The asbestos was already being removed from Tyndall Heights by the time the politicians were ready to celebrate its demolition. Velma Dillard was one of the local politicians here to say goodbye. She serves on the local school board. Turns out she grew up here too. Dillard says once upon a time, this was the place to be.
A lot of good people grew up in this neighborhood. It was a launching pad for greatness.
These 400 or so blocky apartments built during the New Deal were radically better than the tar paper shacks they replaced. But by 1960, the wiring was out of date, and there has never been central air conditioning here. This is in the middle of Georgia. So Thelma Dillard was all too happy to pick up a sledgehammer, painted gold, of course, and take a turn knocking out a few ceremonial bricks.
I got it.
What will come next will be low-cost housing for senior citizens on about a third of the property and, should tax credits come through, a larger mixed-income retail and residential development on the rest. But first, everyone here has to go. So one day in October 2015, when this was still news in the neighborhood, I thought I'd see what people wanted when they left. Some, like George Neal, were indifferent.
It really doesn't matter. I'm just whatever I can afford, basically.
Some, like Diane Collins, didn't want to go.
I really got tacked to my apartment.
But most of the people I spoke with were single mothers with one thing on their mind.
I just want the best for my kids.
I just think it's time for me and my kids to move on to something better.
Well, it's going to be better because my son will be able to go to a better school. Well, the school he's at, it's okay, but I want more for him.
So, I think the easiest thing to do here is to sum up all these stories with the experiences of two women. I'm going to start with the voice of the woman you last heard, Ossette Reeves. She's 25 and in school herself.
Me, I was already ready to move, so I'm excited about it, and I'm glad that they're doing this.
Luckily for Ossette, she and everyone else here will have some monetary help. That would come in the form of a Section 8 Tenant Protection Voucher, or TPV for short. This is the help under Section 8 you get when your public housing is torn down. So what's out there for someone with a Section 8 tenant protection voucher? I went to the internet to find out. I tried the Housing and Urban Development website and maybe found 8 apartments. Turns out that despite HUD being the place landlords sign up to take Section 8, they don't keep any sort of master list. The Macon Housing Authority keeps a local Section 8 landlord list, but that's available by appointment only. I've never seen it. So I searched other websites like GoSection8.com and GeorgiaHousingSearch.org. After a week or so, I had a list of about 195 properties. But remember, I'm a reporter who made this his job. Now imagine trying to do that if you're a working single mother in college. With Ossette and the other moms I met in mind, I made a map of the properties I found by plotting all of them against school performance. I found most places were apartments clustered in the lowest performing elementary school zones in the city. There wasn't a single property in the highest performing school zone. 6 months after I first met her, I went to see how Ossette's search was going. By then, the neighborhood looked like a ghost town, but Ossette was still there, waiting to move to her new place.
It's a 3-bedroom house and it's 2 bathrooms, and I love it.
She's been waiting for weeks to find out if the place meets the health and safety standards for using Section 8 vouchers. Just getting to this point wasn't easy.
It hasn't been like a walk in the park, like, well, you can go find this, then you get to move. No.
First, she had 60 days to look around.
Might not find something in 60 days, so it was like, I have to find something, like, as soon as possible, or, you know, I'm going to be real messed up.
And though Ossette is happy with what she found, it isn't her first choice.
No, you can't get your hopes up too high. I know that we all happy about, you know, being able to move, but it's still like, okay, you have all these disadvantages of you know, like you find a place and it's not in your amount, then that's kind of upsetting because, you know, all the good stuff is, you know, high, of course, the rent,
In Ossette's case, what she can afford is to move her 9-year-old son to an elementary school with one of the lowest rates of literacy in the city. The school next to Tyndall Heights was better. It doesn't matter. She's still set on go.
It's really, I'm ready for a change. That's what it's mostly about.
Ready for a change.
That was the last time we spoke. Of course, if more landlords took Section 8 vouchers in better neighborhoods, this would be easier. And when I talked to the then head of the Macon Housing Authority, she said they try to make that happen. But she said if landlords can't be convinced, the Housing Authority's hands are tied. So, Ossette gets to move, and she gets a house, just maybe not the home of her dreams. But remember when I said I had two stories? Let's go all the way back to the demolition party at Tyndall Heights. That's where I met Tyra Ann Tate, waiting for her turn to swing the golden sledgehammer.
And I used to live in the building, the first building, when you're pulling off of Richard Penniman.
Okay. She just left.
And I love my new place.
Where'd you go?
On the north side.
Oh, great.
Cool. Yes, on the north side.
The north side is Macon shorthand for the suburbs. Tyra Ann Tate made it out.
Hey.
About a week later, I got a tour of Tyra's new place. It's a row house on a street tucked between neighborhoods of single-family homes. Some you could call McMansions. The single best elementary school in town is half a mile away, accessible by sidewalks. With incense burning and reggae on the stereo, the vibe here is chill, especially out back.
You got a screened-in porch.
Yes.
That is so cool.
I get to wake up and look at the lake every morning.
Oh, wow.
Right. You see how peaceful it is out here?
Yeah.
Tyra has done nails for 20 years. She's been working hard to build clientele in Macon in the time since she came here from Cleveland, Ohio. When she moved into Tyndall Heights in 2013, she was newly divorced with 3 kids and homeless.
I didn't go in there with the mindset that I was going to be there long.
She'd been trying to leave for a while when she got the news about the demolition and the Section 8 vouchers. So she got to work.
We would just ride around neighborhoods, you know, get numbers, look on Craigslist, the newspaper, everywhere. Everybody just kept on showing us these garbage places. They were just terrible. I would actually want to ask them, would you put your mother in this place?
But Tyra knew what she wanted.
So I just refused. I refused to accept anything less than what I had in my head.
Then one day she was making small talk while doing nails for an old client. She talked a little about the house search. The client and her boyfriend were fixing a place up, told Tyra to take a look. She did, the same day.
And when I walked in, I was like, wow, I'm done. The search is over.
Except the landlord wasn't taking Section 8. Again, Tyra wasn't hearing no.
I just laid it down on the line, you know, to him. I just was basic and was like, look, me and my girls deserve, we need a place, a nice, safe environment for us to live. You know, we're all in school. We're, you know, we're good people. We won't tear up your house. And I know that's, you know, a stigma that people have with Section 8.
And he bit.
Yeah, he gave us a chance.
As far as Tyra is concerned, this is how the whole thing was supposed to work.
This is one of the reasons for Section 8, so you can upgrade your life. You don't want to go from a project to a slum.
Tyra Ann Tate says that just wouldn't make sense. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
How about you? Have you struggled to find affordable housing in Georgia? Is the neighborhood where you used to live too expensive now? Leave us a message. We're at 404-500-9457 or reach us on Facebook or on Twitter. Now we're going to pick that back up with GPB's Grant Blankenship from our bureau in Macon. Hello, Grant.
Good morning, Virginia. How are you?
Very well, but really interested in that story. And thanks so much for updating it. I know you reported on it earlier. And more recently, you've been reporting that the tax reform championed by President Trump passed last year, in effect now, could stall low-income housing. How so?
Okay, so decades ago, the federal government said they would build no more public housing. And what they've been doing since then is awarding these tax credits to your public housing authority. Those are the people who, or your local housing authority, that's who actually builds public housing. What they do, they take these tax credits and they come to corporations who maybe feel like their income taxes are too high. And they say, for money invested in our new public housing project, our new construction, we're going to give you a cut in your income tax rate. And that worked well for a long time. But the new tax reform, that cut corporate tax rates a lot. Mike Austin, he is now the head of the Macon Housing Authority. He sums up what that means.
How about you summarize what Mike says?
All right. So what Mike said He put it really succinctly. If I'm corporate Joe, that was his term, I'm paying 37% tax rate, and all of a sudden it's 20%, you know, are you going to need these tax credits anymore? And that's what the fear is across the country. These corporations don't need low-income housing tax credits, and so there go the funds for public housing renovation. So Mike Austin here in Macon has already had to get a loan from our local urban development authority to muscle through this last phase of development at Tyndall Heights. And I think he's expecting to have to do the same for the next phase.
And you're going to be following some people, Annie Johnson, somebody in Tyndall Heights who now lives in the Tyndall Senior Towers. What are some of the other stories that you're following having to do with housing in Macon?
Right. Well, so we're going to continue to watch the redevelopment of Tyndall Heights, to see that thing through all the way to the end. By spring of next year, we'll know if the Macon Housing Authority is able to move these tax credits on the open market and secure funding to really cap that thing off. And the capstone there, and this is the plum everybody's been waiting for, is not just senior housing for Annie, as you just mentioned, but also mixed income housing, family housing, a place anybody and everybody can live on the grounds of the old Tyndall Heights. So fingers crossed, we'll see if it happens.
Well, a lot of stories, and we'll be listening. GPB reporter Grant Blankenship in Macon. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no worries.